Let's turn now to Isaiah 56. Today we're looking at verse 3. Look at our context, we will be reading the entire chapter. Thus says the Lord. So this is, really and truly, the word of God. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner, who has joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, Jehovah has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, Here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord Jehovah, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, Yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. May God bless to us his word today. Again, verse 3 says, Do not let the son of the foreigner, who has joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, The Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, Here I am, a dry tree. Do you children know the word disclaimer? Disclaimer. It's a word that lawyers use. And it means no matter what I have said, here are some exceptions. And maybe you have been looking at something, children, you're reading in a magazine or something of the sort, and you see an ad for something that looks wonderful. And there's this little tiny print down at the bottom, which tells you all sorts of reasons why it won't be wonderful for you. That little tiny print is called a disclaimer. Or maybe you've been listening to the radio and you hear some car dealer come on and they're advertising they want you to come buy their cars. And they tell you of all sorts of wonderful offers they have for you and you can buy for them for only whatever. And they get all done. And then some other guy comes on and he's talking about 100 miles an hour. All the reasons it doesn't really apply to you because it's only good on the second Tuesday of each week at the setting sun when it turns green and that sort of thing. All right, that's the disclaimer. Or you've heard about some contest. And I hope you children don't participate in these. Many of you are too young to anyway. But they say void where prohibited. Or you'll see an ad maybe for insurance. We see insurance on TV all the time with the Gecko, you know, the Geico Gecko and Flo from whatever insurance company that is. I guess that insurance company just failed because I can't remember who she goes with. Oh, well, anyway, you will hear insurance ads, and they will have disclaimers that this does not apply in the state of Pennsylvania or something of the sort. It seems like all kinds of wonderful promises have these exceptions, these disclaimers. This is good for everybody else, but not for you. Not for you. Not for you. Everybody else, but not you. Well, there are a couple of classes of people who would have been hearing, perhaps, all these glorious promises that God was giving to his people through his servant Isaiah, and would have strong temptation to think, there's a disclaimer there. Surely this isn't for me. And we read about them here in verse 3. Actually, we'll be looking down through verse 8 eventually and seeing this expanded further. This is verse 3 here, kind of an introduction to verses 4 through 8. But these people would be expecting that God would not receive them, but reject them. Oh, I didn't mean you. I didn't mean you when I said all sorts of repentant people I would receive. No. I mean real penitents, not you. They expected rejection. Surely, they thought, such good promises can't possibly be for me. The first were foreigners. What do we mean by foreigners? People from the different nations around. We were seeing a couple of weeks ago when we were in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 18 through 20, when we were looking at the wonderful Passover that King Hezekiah led the people in, that there were those invited down, not only from within Judah, but invited down from the area which had been the northern kingdom. People from the unfaithful northern tribes, most of whom had been carted off by the Assyrians and scattered, and a whole bunch of people from other nations brought in, because that was the way that the Assyrians and the Babylonians did things with conquered people. Move them out of their area, cut every tie with the past, so they would no longer have some basis for rebellion, no longer have some way to rally around. They would be forced to depend on their new overlords, the Assyrians. So you didn't have too many people from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Dan, Zebulun and others that I'm forgetting right now, Reuben and others. Anyway, you didn't have them up there for the most part. There were some that were left, and they were invited to come, but there were others from these nations who were invited to come. And you will remember that on this Passover that was done on God's mandated alternate date, not the main date, but on the alternate date that God would allow, there were people still that were not clean, not ceremonially clean. And the Holy Spirit moved Hezekiah to pray that these who are unclean might be forgiven by the good Lord and be allowed to partake. And God forgave them and cleansed them, and they ate. And they looked back to God's deliverance in the days of their forefathers from Egypt. They looked forward to the one, the servant of God, promised by Isaiah. And you remember I mentioned how the people may have heard, and certainly Hezekiah had heard God's promise through Isaiah of the coming Lamb that we've read about in Isaiah 52:13 all the way through the end of chapter 53 of Isaiah. We trust that in faith these people from Judah and the repentant ones from the apostate northern kingdom, and even these from the nations, were trusting in the one who would come. But the foreigners would be tempted to say, surely this is not for me. And we can understand this. We can understand why this is their thought. Some of them may have been from living close by Israel, close by Judah, may have been somewhat acquainted with what they would think of as customs of these Israelite people, but that were laws of the Word of God. In the law, those who were not circumcised, those who were not of the nations, were not allowed in the camp. They were not allowed to partake of the festivals of redemption that we've talked about, the Passover and the Tabernacles and Pentecost, all of these that looked ahead to the person and work of Jesus Christ and the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And, well, you can read about this, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 2 and 3. They had to be cleansed. They had to be forgiven for their sin. It's understandable how these would say, as we read here in verse 3, the Lord has utterly separated me from His people. A second group are those who are the eunuchs. Or let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. Now, children, I thought long and hard how to explain to you what a eunuch is. The best way I can come up with is, this is a man who is not able to be a father. He is not able to be a father. And so you can maybe see what he means when he says, here I am, a dry tree. Children, I want you to think. What do you know about a dry tree? Well, this means it's a dead tree, right? Because a live tree isn't dry. It's got all that sap in it, right? Now, a dead tree has no leaves. A dead tree has no fruit. It just stands there in summer heat, in winter cold, what we call a snag. Good for nothing, except maybe first to be cut down, and then secondly cut up into firewood and burned. That's all it's good for. The eunuchs were saying, I'm no good for anything. I will never get to have God's Messiah come from me. I never get to have children and grandchildren. There's really no point to my life. They would be saying, I will never have a name in Israel. I can't be a blessing to anyone. No seed, no fruit from me. I'll never give glory to God. Just like a dry tree, I can't give shade to others or be beautiful. There is no blessing from me. Surely this shows that God has no blessing for me. What a sad situation to be in. But God says to the foreigner, don't say that. Don't say that you're cut off from me. And he says to the eunuch, don't say that. Don't say that you're only a dry tree. You know that servant of mine that I've spoken of? That servant that I've moved my servant Isaiah to write about there in the Gospel of Isaiah in chapter 53. In him you're accepted. Don't let such despairing thoughts enter your mind, foreigner. Don't let such despairing thoughts enter your heart, O eunuch. Why, we've already seen 2 weeks ago, there in 2 Chronicles 30, people of nations in the area that were later to be called Samaritans came and their participation was accepted by God. We have seen Old Testament promises. We've seen them over these years we've been together many and many a time. Promises in the Old Testament that the nations would be incorporated into Israel. We'll be singing about that in a few minutes in Psalm 87. Where nations who had been enemies to the people of God are counted as being part of the people of God. We've seen this here in Isaiah. Way back in chapter 19, let me look that up here quickly. In that day, that is when God begins to work in and on Egypt. In that day, Isaiah 19 verse 18, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by Jehovah of hosts. One will be called the city of destruction. In that day, there will be an altar, not to Ammon or to Ra or any of those, but an altar to Jehovah in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. These Egyptians who had oppressed, these Egyptians who had enslaved, these Egyptians who had killed the people of God, they in their corporate sin had worshipped idols, had thrown aside Jehovah of hosts, and he in mercy, he in grace for the nations provides a Savior. He will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day, and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it, and you will remember perhaps when we went through this years ago. It's literally been years that we've been in Isaiah, hasn't it? That I pointed out to you that this was looking to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's being looked to there. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt and the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. Imagine that. These two nations that were fighting constantly against each other. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people. We'd think it would say Israel, my people. Egypt, my people. And Assyria, the work of my hands, and Esra, my inheritance. Let not the foreigner say, I am cut off. The Lord has utterly separated me from his people. We find this in Zechariah 8, verses 20 through 23. Perhaps you can look there with me. For those who don't know your Bibles well, that's near the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah 8, verses 20 through 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Jehovah of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Those are just a few examples. In the New Testament, we see Jesus' words in Matthew 8, verses 10 through 11, where he talks about the nations coming to him. We see Paul writing to the Romans and to the Galatians, to the Romans in chapter 12, verses 9 through 12, and to the Galatians in chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, and verse 29, that the true Israel of God, the true heirs of Abraham, are not those by the flesh, but they are the ones who are the sons by faith, who hold to the same faith as Abraham. They are brought in who join themselves to the Lord. We see Paul speaking to the Romans in chapter 11 in his image and illustration of the olive tree, with the branches of the olive tree snapped off and new wild ones grafted in into one tree. Paul's words to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13, of how the Gentiles there in Ephesus had been at one time separate. They had been apart, and they had no God in this world, no real God. But now, by the blood of Jesus Christ, they are brought near, incorporated in the people of God. There's only one people of God in the Old Testament and New Testament, not two. There's no replacement of Israel, nor is there a separate people of the church from Israel. The true Israel of God is the church. The church is the true Israel of God, with believers from Adam and Eve until the last one saved before Jesus comes again. One people, one Israel, one church, taken of all nations, added on, grafted into the stock of the believing Israel of God. And what about those eunuchs? Well, let's think of some eunuchs that we've seen in Scripture. There are a couple or three of them. There's a guy called Ebed-Melech. Do you remember about him? No, probably not. He's not a real prominent character in Scripture, but when I tell you about him, you'll remember him. Maybe not his name, but you'll remember about him. Do you remember when Jeremiah, 200 years or so after Isaiah, Jeremiah was in trouble with the king and the nobles because of his faithful preaching of the word of God. And they said, you're being a traitor. You're being paid off by the Babylonians. And it was decided they'd kill him off by throwing him into this hole, children, that was real muddy down in the bottom. Big, deep hole where someone probably had started digging a well and they'd never finished it up. But there was this servant of the king called Ebed-Melech. And by the way, do you know what Ebed-Melech means in Hebrew? It means servant of the king. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, Ebed-Melech came to the king and said, he's going to die there. And King Zedekiah was one who kind of flip-flopped. And so he said, oh, well, okay, go ahead and drag him out. And that's what Ebed-Melech did. He got several other men to help him. They threw down into that hole. They knew they couldn't pull Jeremiah up or they'd injure him with ropes. It would cut his skin up and everything. So I threw down a whole bunch of old rags he stuffed under his arms, then the ropes under that, and they pulled him out. You can just imagine the sucking noise out of the mud. They pulled him out, and God promised Ebed-Melech, a eunuch, that he would be blessed by God. You can read about that in Isaiah 38, verses 7 through 13. That's the rescue of Jeremiah. And then the next chapter, chapter 39, verses 16 through 17. In fact, Jeremiah himself was not allowed to have children. It's not that he couldn't. If he would have married, he could have had children. But God told him he wasn't allowed to even get married. We think in the New Testament of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, to whom Philip preached the gospel and to whom salvation came as he believed on the one that Philip preached to him about, preaching to him from right here in Isaiah 53. Don't let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. These are accepted. Accepted in the servant. Accepted, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, in the beloved. There's no disclaimer. And this is still the case today. There may be some hearing me right here. Right now, who think, surely this can't be for me. I've been apart from God for too long. I've faked it. The rest of these people think I'm a Christian, but I've been faking it. I've come to see I've been faking it. God surely won't take a hypocrite like me. Surely. All my life has been a waste. I'm a dry tree, spiritually speaking. God still accepts these people today. You may think you're too bad a sinner. You may think you are too persistent a sinner. You may think you've been too foolish of a sinner. You may think you've heard and heard and heard the gospel and you've kept on going. So you are I guess that goes with the persistent sinner. You can say, I've done terrible things. I'm a big sinner. God surely won't receive me. I am so far gone. There really is no hope for me. I've wasted my life. Everything that I've done's just been for me, 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 and now I see that it's useless. It's vanity. Surely there's no hope for me. God still says there are no disclaimers. There are no disclaimers. You may have been far from Jesus. You may have indeed been far from His people. Holiness and righteousness may be foreign things to you indeed. But Jesus calls you now and will receive you. Don't say that you are separated utterly from God's people. Join yourself to Him using the words that we have here in verse 3. And leave behind as you join to Jesus. Leave behind all that foreign stuff, that foolishness and sin. Or you may see your past life as being barren and useless, and so it may truly be. Maybe you are being entirely honest with yourself. All that you thought would surely give your life meaning. All that would give your life some purpose. You see now it's been useless and there is nothing coming from it. But Jesus calls you now and He will restore to you what you have wasted in your sin. Join yourself to Him and leave behind all the uselessness. Go to Him. You now see that you're a dead tree. Go to Him for everlasting life, everlasting joy, everlasting blessing to you, the blessing that you thought you could never have. And you will be a blessing to others as God uses you for His glory, and you will be a glory to Him. Fruit you shall bear. Beauty shall be bestowed on you so that you are a delight to others. and to God Himself. Despite our sin, then, despite our foolishness, despite our wastage, God forgives in Christ without disclaimer, without exception. Do not say, it's not for me. Join yourself to Him. God in Christ forgives. God in Christ accepts. God in Christ heals. God in Christ will rejoice over you. Let's abandon our old and dead existence. Let's abandon our foreignness from God. Let us join ourselves to Him in Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned we're now going to sing from Psalm 87. Please turn there in your psalm book. I've preached on this I don't know how many times. It's been a lot. But all these nations, some of them oppressors, God in His grace draws to Himself in Jesus. And in the books of heaven, it's not written down that they are from, Egypt, Babylon, the Philistines, the Canaanites, Ethiopians, they won't be written down as being from these places. We see in the next to last stanza four, of Zion it is said each one was born in her. They're enlisted as being part of the heavenly Zion, the true Israel of God. Once they were like Saul of Tarsus, now they are like Paul the Apostle, nations and societies brought to serve Jesus, foreigners, not utterly cut off, not utterly separated, but grafted in to the people of God. Psalm 87.